You're listening to English as a Second Language podcast, English Cafe, number 60. This is the English Cafe, episode number 60. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On this cafe, we're going to talk about some of the best-selling books in the United States, the most popular fiction and nonfiction books. We will also be going over a little bit about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving traditions in the United States. And as always, we'll answer a few questions. Let's get started. Be sure to visit our website at ESLPOD.com. to get a list of the words that we are going to be talking about today. You can also get on our website a complete transcript of this episode of English Cafe, and that includes not just the words, but the definitions, additional sentences using these words, as well as additional cultural notes related to today's podcast. Our first topic today is going to be best sellers. And a best seller, all one word, BESTSELLER, is a book that is very popular. That is one of the books that has sold the most copies. And in most places, the best-selling books are divided into hardcover and softcover, fiction and nonfiction. A hardcover book, HARDCOVER, one word, is a book that has a cover on it. The cover is what is on the outside of the book, that is made usually of some hard material, a type of cardboard or very thick paper. And that would be a hardcover book. Usually they are bigger books, and they are the first kind of book that a publisher, someone who makes books, releases. The opposite of a hardcover book would be a soft cover book, S-O-F-T, soft cover. And a soft cover book, you can guess, does not have a hard cardboard front and back, but it has just a softer paper cover. Soft cover books are usually cheaper, lighter, and smaller than hardcover books. Hardcover books and soft cover books are divided into fiction and nonfiction. Fiction, something that isn't true, and nonfiction, things that are true. The top book currently in the United States, one of the best sellers in fiction, is a book called Rise and Shine. Rise, R-I-S-E, and Shine, S-H-I-N-E. These are both what we would call command forms of the verb or imperatives, and it's when you are telling someone to do something. Rise means get up, usually said to someone who is in bed, sleeping. Shine means to have a bright light on something. But shine can also mean that you do a good job, that you are excellent at what you do, or that you are completely awake and ready to do a good job. So the expression rise and shine is something you might say to someone who is still in bed sleeping. It's something a mother might say to her children. Rise and shine, kids. Today is Monday. You have to go to school. Which I think is wonderful when the children go to school, especially the children who live next to me here in my house in Los Angeles, because they're very noisy during the week. So school is a good place for them. Well, Rise and Shine is a book by a woman. Her name is Anna Quindlen, Quindlen. Not related to me, McQuillan. And it's a novel or a fictional story, a novel that is about a woman who works in a woman's shelter. A woman's shelter, S-H-E-L-T-E-R, is a place for women who perhaps don't have a home to live in. It is often for women who are in a marriage or a relationship where there is some violence and they need a safe place to go. The government has some shelters, mostly, however, private organizations, churches, other groups have women's shelters, and these are places women can go to be safe. This is a novel about a woman who works at a woman's shelter. One person described this novel as engrossing. To be engrossing, E-N-G-R-O-S-S-I-N-G, means that you get very involved in it, that it is very, very interesting. You can't put it down, we would say. You can't stop reading. And it's a novel about what one person calls family dynamics. Dynamics, D-Y-N-A-M-I-C-S, are, in this case, the way that two people or a group of people react, communicate, talk to each other. Family dynamics are the way that you get along with someone else in your family or don't get along with someone else in your family. It is a well-written book. One reviewer, someone who writes about books, says that the prose is top-notch. The prose, P-R-O-S-E, just means the writing. We also have that term prose to mean something that is not a poem. You can have a poem like Shakespeare's poems or Jeff McQuillan's poems. Roses are red, violets are blue. The sky is sunny, and so are you. Thank you. I just made that up. I just invented that poem. Prose is the opposite of poetry. It's sentences that are meant to tell a story, usually. The reviewer says the writing or the prose in this book is top-notch. T-O-P-N-O-T-C-H. Top-notch means the very best, very, very good. So if you're interested in that book, it's called Rise and Shine. Another popular book in the United States currently is one called Judge and Jury. The judge, J-U-D-G-E, is the person who is the leader, if you will, of a trial. When you go to court, you have a judge. In some cases, you have a jury, J-U-R-Y. A jury is a group of people who decide whether you are guilty or innocent. And this is a novel by a famous American novelist, James Patterson. It's about an FBI agent. The FBI is the Federal Bureau of Investigation. It's one of our national police organizations. And it's about an FBI agent who is investigating the mob. The mob, which is spelled capital M-O-B, here means the same as organized crime. We also sometimes call it the mafia, M-A-F-I-A. The mob, mafia, organized crime, all these mean the same. They are a group of people who are criminals and who are, you can guess, organized into a group. This is the subject of a famous American television show called The Sopranos. And it's about a group of, in this case, Italian Americans who are involved in the mob or the mafia, involved in doing crimes. It was also the topic of three movies in the 1970s called The Godfather, and The Godfather 2, and The Godfather 3. So that is a bestseller in fiction, hardcover fiction. It's called Judge and Jury by James Patterson. Some of the best-selling nonfiction books have to do with politics, of course. You can guess that politics is a popular topic. There is one book called Fiasco, F-I-A-S-C-O, by Thomas Ricks. A fiasco is something that goes wrong. A fiasco is similar to a disaster, but it's something caused by humans. It's something that people do, and it creates a lot of problems. It's a fiasco. And this is, I believe, about the war in Iraq. Another popular book, nonfiction book, is a book called Marley and Me by John Grogan. Marley, M-A-R-L-E-Y, is not the famous singer Bob Marley, the famous reggae singer from the Caribbean. This is a dog, Marley, and it is a story about a man who gets a dog and what happens to him and his dog. The book is called Marley and Me, Life and Love with the World's Worst Dog. And this dog is apparently very naughty and hyperactive. To be naughty, N-A-U-G-H-T-Y, kind of an old word which means to be bad. And hyperactive, H-Y-P-E-R-A-C-T-I-V-E, is when you are very active, too active. Somebody who is always jumping up and down, or someone who is always talking or doing something, we would call hyperactive. Well, this is a hyperactive dog. So if you like dogs, and I don't, you can get this book called Marley and Me by John Grogan. So those are some of the most popular books in the U.S. right now. I haven't read any of those books, but I did read about them on the web, and someday maybe I'll watch the movie. Our second topic today, briefly, is to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, the holiday of Thanksgiving. Now, if you listened last year on Thanksgiving, we had a podcast about the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, the traditional Thanksgiving meal in the United States, and I talked about the holiday of Thanksgiving, which is the fourth Thursday of every November. It's a national holiday. Nobody works. And it's a day for people to come together and to give thanks for the good things that they have in their life. You can go to our website and listen to ESL podcast number 91, which is called Thanksgiving. I believe it is under the daily life category. You can search for it on our website. And that will give you some general information about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving dinner or Thanksgiving meals. I thought I would talk today about some other popular things that happen on or around Thanksgiving that most Americans know about. One of the things that most Americans do on the morning of Thanksgiving, or many Americans, is they watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. A parade, P-A-R-A-D-E, is when you have a group of people who walk along the street to celebrate something. The Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City is sponsored by a national store called Macy's. This is a store, M-A-C-Y, apostrophe S, Macy's, that sells all sorts of things, clothes and jewelry, shoes. Macy's pays for this, or helps pay for this parade, which is in New York City, and it's very famous. It is on television on Thursday morning, and you will see lots of what we call floats, F-L-O-A-T-S. Float is usually a big car that moves down the street that has people on top of it. It's a truck, usually. There are also balloons, big, huge, gigantic balloons of Snoopy and other cartoon characters. And it's a fun time for children. At the end of the parade, there is always Santa Claus. The reason that there is Santa Claus at the end of the Thanksgiving Day parade is because the day after Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving, is considered the first important day for people to go and start buying presents, buying gifts for Christmas. So the beginning of the Christmas shopping season, we would call it, is the day after Thanksgiving. And in fact, this is the most popular day. More people go and shop or try to buy things in stores on Thanksgiving weekend, the day after, the Friday after Thanksgiving, than any other day. Stores have early morning sales, like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. The store will open with a special sale. It will reduce the price, lower the price on things to get more people to buy. It is one day that you do not want to go to a big store in the United States unless you like having thousands of people around you. I don't. I never go shopping the day after Thanksgiving. But it is a popular tradition. Another popular tradition on Thanksgiving Day is to watch American football. And there are usually at least two American football games on in the afternoon of Thanksgiving. One of them is in Detroit, Michigan, which also has its own Thanksgiving Day parade. the Detroit Lions, which is the name of the team, has a game. And also there's a game in Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys have a game usually every Thanksgiving Day. So those are some popular things that people do on Thanksgiving, things that you can see on American television. Thanksgiving is, of course, this week, the week of this cafe. So if you live in the United States, you don't have to work tomorrow. I have to work, of course, because ESL Podcast never takes a vacation. Now let's answer your questions. Our first question today comes from Brazil. Cassius, C-A-S-S-I-U-S, Cassius from Brazil, wants to know the meaning of the verb to figure out. To figure, F-I-G-U-R-E, out, O-U-T, two words. To figure out is one of those phrasal verbs, or verbs with two words in it, that is very popular in English. To figure out means to solve a problem, to understand something that you didn't understand before, to find a solution to a problem. These would all be ways of defining the verb to figure out. For example, I was talking to my wife yesterday. I figured out that she was very angry with me. And the reason I figured it out, how I figured it out, is because she wasn't talking back to me. I talked to her. She didn't say anything back to me. I figured out she was mad. She was angry at me. You can also figure out a math problem or figure out the answer to a puzzle, something that you have to try to find a solution for. So that is the meaning of the verb to figure out, and we use it very often. Our next question comes from Japan, from Satsuki, S-A-T-S-U-K-I. Satsuki's question is a pronunciation question about the difference between the word C-A-N and the word C-A-N apostrophe T, the short version of cannot. When you say these words very quickly, it is sometimes difficult to hear the difference. Here's C-A-N. I can go today. I can go today. Here's C-A-N apostrophe T. I can't go today. I can't go today. Listen again. I can go today. I can go today. Now with the T. I can't go today. I can't go today. You notice there's a small difference between I can go today and I can't go today in the pronunciation of the A, and you can just hear the T very, very softly. It's a difficult distinction for some people to hear. I can go today means I can go today. I can't go today means I cannot or I can't go today. So that is the difference between these two. It's difficult to explain. It's something you really need to listen to many times just to hear the difference. This difference is sometimes difficult even for native speakers. Sometimes someone will say something to you and you'll say, you can or you can't. You have to ask, because when you say it very quickly, it is more difficult to hear the difference. Well, if you have a question about something you don't understand, email us at ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com. We'll try to answer your question. If you like ESL Podcast and want to help us, one good way is to go to iTunes or the Yahoo Podcast site and vote for us. Write a nice review. Give us 5 stars. That will help us make the podcast even more popular. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.